all right here is a wonderful community, isn't it?
Yes, sir, that's right.
The International Airport will be out there between here and Dallas. And they're going to make it the finest airport this side of New York. There'll be 10,000 people around your community. You got about 150, 200 members out there. Just been called there. I want you to quit school here. A week every now and then, go out there and see every chick and child and christen every baby in that neighborhood. You may not get all my lectures, you won't be the worst off, you don't. Even if some of Dr. Hamilton's, you won't be the worst off. But I want you to go through every wire fence and see everybody in 10 miles that place.
I'll put them out there for.
All right. I don't see you around here in 2 weeks. I don't want to see you here for a week. I'll break your shoes. If any of these here veterans and pictures of these piston rods that run it, want to weigh you down, tell them to see me.
Sure will.
They don't like it, I'll fire them.
We got that off.
Get me ready. One of the boys went out there to hold a meeting and said he wouldn't be given a few days and people being saved. So King Marky asked King Marky's excuse. I'll mark his excuse. And that's going to settle it, too. Will you do that?
Yes, sir.
You think I'd chance next Sunday, will you?
Yes, sir, I sure will.
Don't you show up around here next week.
I'm glad to go to Woodworth. No, he's mighty fine.
Yeah, you drive out there, you got a car?
Yes, sir, I have.
All right. You go see him a member on that road next week. Don't sit down. Just walk in. I'm the new pastor and I need your help. I've come to ask you to pray for me. I want you to invite somebody to come and hear me preach. Who lives over there in that house over there? I'm sorry, will you go and help me to bring them to church? You see a sending station on there. Walk up the silence and says, my name is Bailey. I'm the pastor over here for you to church. And I want to meet you. I'm going to be out there in this neighborhood for the next 10 years, maybe longer. I'm going to preach a lot of people. May preach yours and want you to get ready. Anytime any of you can speak, if you want to preach and come and pray with you, you get in touch with me and I'll come and pray. I don't care what time of day it is, 2 o'clock in the morning, people die at all hours, you know that? Did you know more people die at night than do at daytime? Did you know that? Did you know more people die after 12 o'clock than do before 12 o'clock at daytime? Did you know that?
No, sir.
Well, I'm teaching you
something. Amen.
And see all the old people. Know the names of every chick and child. Hello, Sam. Hello, Tom. Hello, Bill. Hello, everything. Know every old man and every old woman. Know the birthdays.
Do best I can.
No, you're not going to do best you can. You do it. Give me a book. You got one? All right. When you go into a place and make a visit, and there's why not take down the names of everybody in that home? Write them all down. There's husband and wife, 10 children, 14 grandchildren. Pray for every one of them. Call them all by name. You know how to do that.
I remember you doing it.
Let me write them down. Write them all down. So, all right, let's stand there. What a Thanksgiving. Never say prayer. Say Thanksgiving, then pray. Then while they got their heads bowed, when you pray for them, don't say, Lord bless the children. Lord bless Sam, Tom, and Sally, Willie, and honey, just call the roll of all of them. You see, the scripture says, watch as well as pray. And that woman saying when the husband say, you know, I like that young fella. Yes. You'll have them all come in the church. You got to build a new church soon. All right, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
Now, a lot of courses on Pastor Theodore. Not worth a dime. Not worth a copper cent.
First meeting I ever had, I slept on a bed of ungin cotton out the front of the front porch. On the way, I took a bath, went down to the creek where there was a swimming hole, pulled off with it, and had to have some old fashioned live soap for one thing. I never did like live soap. But you cuss the dirt off. Went down there, and after me, going back fire, fed it to in that same hole of water. But I want to see everybody in that whole neighborhood. Remember, the four things of the soul are head power, heart power, hand power, heel power, special life. Then the one said in a minute, and that lady. Downright lady, come around and told myself, well, I just well. It's 100 feet deep, I found her, these are part of the Eagle Mountain Lake. Put 200 feet, put white irons around your legs and jump in. Won't kill me one day, but I'm going to commit suicide. I said, what right are they children? We mentioned everything from the gas route. I said, we'll put stuff on a gas route because it doesn't look at it. I wouldn't jump off a tall building out here because you mess with the sidewalk. I wouldn't blow a thing out because you might need them in the other way. I said, the best way is to take out all the insurance you can take. And get you 200-pound weights, so I can weigh 100 feet deep over 9 miles range. It's midnight, nobody come along, they'll fall off. The weights will keep you down, so you don't float. That's a year. They can get the death boost, and your children get the $10,000. So I'm assuming you, sir, have invited you to come in, sir, that I am invited. You have a nice piece, you know, and I'm going to give you the best round. You take the entry every Sunday morning. That's been very well. People come to me with advice, I find out what they want to do, and then I advise them. People don't want you to change their opinion, they just want you to confirm them. That's all. Girl told me the other day, you don't know about certain young fellas, she's about to get in love with us. You already gone? She said, yes. What do you want to ask me about for? Put your little around about that, will you? Now, I gave you a lecture the other day on Easter. You're 12 occasions on some of these days, I'm going to ask you one question. Incidentally, there are 10 papers that are rejected in those papers. They're unsatisfactory. That's all we have three of them. They'll give you that in general terms, if I was so I make a satisfaction. We'll judge what satisfaction. Now, we're going to start our social life at the end of the problem next Friday night. We're going to have a bout of the fellows going to be equal weight, shall we say. And Dr. Hamlet will challenge every member of the family. I know when he gets out. Oh, Terry, you know what we're doing down at that seminary? Just on the talk, that's all I want. But I'm opposed to, I'm opposed to be fired about. But I want to see every one of them. I just, boy, it's getting over here in the hall, and they're just half a dozen shit. That's not fair to the rest of them. And let this go by. We've had 2-3 already. And let that go by, but not going to let the next go by. You'd be expelled by recourse because the government won't have any air fire tonight, so you let off all the steam you want on the other side. Now, I give you a lecture on Egypt, the secular history of it. But not all of it. The next time you go to a doctor, you ask him where to get such a term. He'll tell you he's well educated. And he'll tell you that two peoples where all medical terms come from. One is Egypt, the other is Rome. So many Latin terms. And you will find that there's much to learn. We have so much that's come down to us from Egypt. I want this morning to best known is how much and large a place Egypt played in the history of the Bible. Began with Abraham. The woman got him in trouble, he got in trouble, and the whole world's in trouble now. 300 million inhabitants, because their mother was an Egyptian pagan. Egypt is a perfect symbol of what the world is. Going back to the onions leaked from the gardens of Egypt. That's the temptation of every new convert. Even the children of Israel, after they were redeemed, standing yonder by the Red Sea, said, "You brought us out here to die. We have plenty to eat down in Egypt." And they did have a well-favored land, the choices of all the land of Egypt, the land of Goshen. Of course, when we think of Egypt, we think at once of the life of Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Jeremiah, he died in Egypt, Pharaoh Necho, who defeated his good King Josiah, yonder on the plains of Megiddo. Egypt was at war continually with the ancient empires of Chaldea, Mesopotamia, Second Babylonian Empire, Assyria, and even after Cyrus the Great, Cambyses was succeeding. He took a powerful army, an army of 150,000, got out there in the desert. The desert storm came, and there was no overwhelmed. The desert ground in the sea, not one escaped. He came back with another army and subdued Egypt. Palestine was a battleground between the countries bordering on the Euphrates and Tigris River, and Egypt was 1,000 miles away. So you can see the importance of Egypt. Our Lord Himself has carried that from the wrath of Herod the Great. Of course, there are two men that means so much to us, Joseph and Moses. One carried that when he was 17, the other was born there. Years roll on. Jacob thought that Joseph was dead and grieved, for he was his favorite son. And asked when they brought, when famine brought the brothers of Joseph down to see him. He knew them, but they did not know him. The most dramatic picture in the whole Bible is the story of Joseph and his brothers. When he had been put in prison, they spoke in their native Hebrew and said, "Oh, do we not remember the anguish of that boy? His blood has now followed us." Joseph prayed. I want to give you some text. Text that you can use. After a while, that's what you want. If I or anybody else lecture to you, you don't get a text, then walk out. We have one of the greatest texts in the whole Bible. When Joseph saw his brothers and knew them, and they did not know him. Put this down. I won't have time except to call attention to a few things. Genesis 43 and 41. And he washed his face. You can't preach all that, then don't preach anymore. He turned his side. He could not contain his tears anymore. Wonderful lesson that he was with the King Jehovah along the wall of yonder when the city was in siege. And he had the sackcloth on the outside and the purple, royal purple next to him. And the wind blew and he saw the royal purple. Our sorrows on the outside, we should conceal. Great text there, take it, preach it. The idea is showing the importance of the office of governor. Remember, Pharaoh said, "Except as I am in your throne." Joseph had more power than Pharaoh. He was lord of all the land. He was opposed to control, and he was the absolute dictator. Many examples of where the prime minister has had the power and the king has got the figurehead. That's true in England today. It's been true in many countries. It's true in Germany before the First World War. Certainly was true with Harry Esau. Now, the office of governor goes back to the beginning of Egyptian history. It does not have to use the word governor, for instance, the governor's state in our way today. He has limited powers. Governed by the Constitution and by both houses of legislature, but not so with this office. So the office was there and has been for centuries. That's all God does things. Not an office created for Joseph. At that time, an office had been in existence all the time. Over all the land, crops, beasts, men, everything. Get that, you'll understand then, the tremendous responsibility of Joseph. There were great dreamers. The ancients there, they gave large attention to dreamers. They had four orders, astrologers, magicians, soothsayers, and the Chaldeans of the ancient Chaldees. These, the priests at the place of the Chaldeans. Soothsayers, fortune tellers, in our language. Magicians, sleight of hand, like the circus, as it threw down and changed the rod. Astronomy is studying the stars. The priests, corresponding to the Chaldeans, the highest intelligence, the educated, the philosophers. Now, when you understand that custom, you can quite understand much is said here in the history of Jacob and Joseph and Moses. Pharaoh dreamed two dreams. They were the same thing. Centaurs and plenty. One talked as lean. Now here's something that may help you. Even to this day, in the rich, fertile land that's irrigated, they go 7 years on the tough corn. That was a premium. If you do less than that, you are discredited. So that is no accident. That was it. The natural thing, 7 years to the start. We have an average of 3 crops, sometimes more, sometimes less. You have no winters there. Now, and now the 7 fat cattle and the 7 lean, the 7 lean devoured the fat cattle. Pharaoh's trouble. To call all the wise men before him, he could not tell. Just then the butler says, "My sins, I remember today, about when the baker put in jail. There were captain offenders that were instantly to be cut off." Incidentally, Joseph put in prison because he had committed a charge with a capital offense. In all the Oriental countries, even to this day, you can violate a man's wife as death. The Mohammedans will behead you before a great multitude without delay for that crime. And that is true in the days of Joseph. That's why when Potiphar's wife had his cloak and his evidence, what could he do? She said it was true. She had evidence of it. That's what we put in as the king's person. That meant as a captain of sending. Then she'd be cut off. But God was with him. Now, these two dreamed a dream, the baker and the butler. The dream of one was that he should be beheaded. The other was he'd be restored. And so when he told Pharaoh, says as a Hebrew, and told us two dreams, and it came to pass just like he said. Yes, the Pharaoh sent for him. He washed himself, he anointed himself, he put on the cloak of Pharaoh. And that young Jew, it's a young age. How old was that time? You don't know? Well, he's nearly his 30th milestone. And when he stood before him, and Pharaoh told him the dream, everybody was looking. Remember that palace has never been exceeded. Rawlinson says the finest palace of all time was the palaces of Karnak that by the excavated ruins, the columns still stand, many of them are magnificent. They came from those granite mines where the source of the Nile. And so, when Pharaoh seated on his throne, all of his courtiers around him, this young Jew stood before him. To me, it's always one of the most piercing things that after interpreted the two dreams and said they are one, then Joseph recommended himself for the job. He was ambitious. It's no fault. As Mark Anthony said over the body of Jesus, Caesar, if he's ambitious, it was a previous fault. If you have any ambition to be something, go out and commit higher crimes. And a bunch of three preachers that made it work, didn't they all pray to me one day? But I got up to them, I got to them, gentlemen, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going to build the greatest church in the world, I'm going to preach in all the great cities of the world. I'm just 19 years old, quit pulling the bell cord over the green deck and little bit, and you just pull that. They looked at me, it was astonishing. And they took me to one side in the room to pray for me. No tabernacle on the ground floor, the windows, two windows here, right over there. And while they were praying, I knew the Lord wasn't here, so I just stepped out to one another, left and prayed. They never asked to give me a prayer. All three of them in heaven. But it's not to have had any plan of salvation. There are two classes of people saved, babies and the others. They belong to the second class. They never forgive you for it. You outdistance those you go with and never forgive you. Remember, jealousy is the most subtle sin in the world which nobody confesses. It's characteristic of society, women, and preachers. Now, Joseph was ambitious. You know what his profession was? The dreamer. Jehovah's dreamer. He didn't down dream once. Every time you see those brothers talking about how you're going to bow down to me, like the sun, sharp to the beast, to the moon, and the stars, and down on the earth, always sympathized with Joseph Brennan. The old man liked it until one day he said to him, moon, stars, the sun, the whole heaven of the world is going to bow down to me. My dear, said, what do you mean about that? You need it. Not even about bow down to you. But the next verse says, and Jacob cursed these things up. So he recommended himself that that's the highest office in the history of ancient Egypt. If I did it, he said, now, the Pharaoh won't ask for the dream. And as he interpreted, it seemed good to everybody. So now, I'm advising you. You look out, a young man who's very wise, and you understand this. He was going to be open. One another man that crowd can feel a bit. He looked turned and said, well, I don't know if anybody here understands this thing like this young man, to which they all agreed, and he was unanimous to call the church. And the proclamation of Egypt, it went throughout the whole empire, and whatever he says, do you do? He's Lord of the land. Now we're going to gather up one fifth each year. How much would that be at the end of 7 years? Is that right, Richard? Come on, have your mathematics. Be a mathematician. What? Come on, what about it? If he gathered up one fifth each year, what would it be at the end of 7 years? What's that mean? What? The spectrum is one and two fifths. Now, so therefore you had a supply. Now another thing. It isn't true in the Egypt history that they had huge graves throughout Egypt. They only had to build it. Here's a wonderful story now. The famine's on all the earth. Like the water of the flood covered all the earth. Jacob said, "There's corn down in Egypt, here we are dying." So you know the story I sent to get out of that. When he came back, after a while, that corn was eaten up. That sent back to home. He said, "We can't go unless we take our youngest brother, because you never let us see his face." Jacob says, "Why did you tell him I had to tell him for?" He said, "How do we tell him when the man who's going to answer is about our family and the father?" And he never said, "We can tell him because we're innocent about it. We can know what he's up to." Because that conscience is what was pursuing him. One of the greatest pieces, if not in my opinion, the greatest piece of eloquence in the whole Bible is the address of Judas. Now here's a real text for you to preach on how crazy God assured you. In Genesis 44 and 16, beginning, "And Judas said, What shall we say unto my Lord?" They knew there was a cup. The cup was in their sack. "What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? Lord, hast found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are thy Lord's servants, both we and he also. Of whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he should be my servant." Joseph speaking of it. "And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ears, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, thou even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man. What now is appealing to the senators of even this Egyptian ruler's thought? We have a father, an old man." Oh, let me stop here and say, when you preach, put some tears in it, put some human interest in it, put some human relations in it. I've got all the commentators, I guess, worthwhile thing about it. They all preach the empty houses. Man, Peter Charles Ferguson, Dr. Gill, had an added congregation of 30, was one of the greatest commentators in the world. So we'll be the Bible spoken about it, he had an added congregation of 25 that we had done. I'm not against the commentary, I use them, you use them. A deacon in human relationship. And he said unto my Lord, "We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little young, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him." I cannot conceive a more heart and tears crushed in one verse. Now, if you just go on read that, quit the minister, no, you never enter. And he said unto my Lord.
This tape is continued on side two.
"We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age. We live in one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loves him."
and thou sittest unto thy servant springing down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And he said unto my Lord, the man cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou sittest unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, shall see my face no more. Again, if I should be king up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord, and our father said, go again and buy us a little food. A little food. And he said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother, be with us, then we'll be good there. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, surely, the torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. Now watch out what's going on in the soul of Joseph. And if he takes this also from me, and mischief befall him, he shall bring down my gray hairs, the sorrow to the grave. Now that's all when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he sees that the lad is not with us, he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs, twice, said they, the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, in sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surely, was tired preaching of Jesus Christ. But thy servant became surely, never needed to make intercession for all that come unto God by him. He is our advocate. For my servant became surety for the land unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. And when you might come to stand before the flaming God of blood judgment, and I know fear, for I have a surety that stands for me. And he will bear the blame. Now therefore, I pray thee, that thy servant abide instead of the last perfect substitution, be bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brother. Or how shall I go up to my father, and the lad not be with me? This adventure, I see the evil that shall come on my father. That's the most eloquent plea in the whole Bible. Then Joseph could not contain himself before all men that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his father. One day, that strange, peculiar people now in dryness and falls on us,
and they shall look on him who lives, yes. Then they shall recognize him as thy Messiah. As they rejected Joseph, and don't let too many facts out of it. Please don't do that. But like underscoring every word of the letter. The great outstanding truth here.
Right.
The stewardship of Jesus. That's one. Second. Joseph revealing himself to them who had despised him, who had rejected him, who had murdered him. I am Joseph. The crew believed that they heard it. They were astonished. They were overwhelmed. He says, come here. And then he took Benjamin. So look at his face, his features, his mouth, his nose, his eyes, compares to. You can see that we are full blood brothers. You come home to the grave, text. I want to give you a text. Never mind my lectures or anybody else. If you don't get text, I'll preach on it. I said with great regret throughout my whole course, I didn't get a half a dozen texts I could use. I was on the preach on it. You're going to need it too, I'll get yours when you get out there. We went back to the phone to old man Jacob and said, we found Joseph, he's alive. But now he is. We've seen you so much. You're the biggest bunch of crooks. That's what I sent Joseph up there to open and find out what meanness is in him. I don't need a word of it. And he didn't. I'm still and I had a great text. All this. His father, he set afar in this manner, after this manner, 10 asses laid and so on. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you don't have a row on the way. And he went up out of Egypt, and came unto the land of Canaan, unto Jacob thy father, and told them, saying, Joseph, ye have lied. And he's governor over all the land of Egypt. Jacob's heart failed, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And here's what they believed. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, thy father, revived. And Israel said, it's enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. Now, if you can't preach on those wagons, they didn't have any wagons when they went down there. They had a long train of camels or asses. And here comes a great, big wagon load, a long train of loaded with corn, loaded with things to be. His spirit revived. Now, analogy, marvelous story. The earnest of the spirit which is now given us, and the fruit of the spirit, love, and joy, and peace, and so on. Wagon loads. If he's the mother of all that were able to ask or think, wagon loads. How much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them which ask him? Wagon loads. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. The people are hungry. Wagon loads. They're heartbroken, the mother yesterday, better the babe in the cool air. Wagon loads of comfort. Wagon loads. The prodigal son of fire up in the country eating the husk of the spirit, but the swine will not eat. Wagon loads at home. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. There is enough to spare. All the dreamers of Egypt are at the command of the governor. He's all alone. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. Now, has he able to take or expect them more? Wagon loads. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. Drive the cool. Morning and see the old cows and the lots and the long-eared mules and the horses and the hogs and all the domestic fowls. A little gun, a little crib full of corn. You see it up there. Did that little window down there? Everything's still. They put some boards over there. Just clear up to the roof. Clear up to the roof. Clear up. Wagon loads. Wagon loads. When they come to hear you preach, have you got wagon loads? Wagon loads. You can't preach on that. I know if we saw some of the experts. Jesus was a great businessman. I'm sorry, a great preacher. Does he arrive and say he was the type of the Antichrist? Poor old man. He didn't have him to me. He needed the Jews, so he wanted to make Joseph. So just from that day on out, he's been getting everything. Getting it now, too. Someday they'll rule the world. We don't like it. Still got the money back. Here we go, Jacob King. Time came to go. Jacob, Jacob! You find that expression twice. Abraham, Abraham, great Christ in his life. Jacob, Jacob, leaving the land now, came and go down to Egypt. Moses, Moses. Simon, Simon. Saul, Saul. And then you find this is just where great mountain peaks came to the life of each man. Christ for his. Please, sir, good sir. Have a lot of them lay around. And when you want one to reach up on the shelf there, maybe just draw honey and honey for a minute. Or some honey for breakfast and hot biscuit and butter, and you get the jar money. Maybe you like to have a little blackberry jelly? No one has it, Mom. All right, just get a jar of blackberry jelly. Maybe you like to have any hot biscuit for dessert, then. Some orange marmalade, just get that down. But you got to have the jars up there before you can select it. You see? Did you want some cool ham? Have a little big ham? Just slice it up. Did you want a tiny egg roast? Just cook that thing. I love cool. Just slice it off. Do you want some good homemade salt rising bread? You have a little one to eat it. Have later. Well, he gave the best part of this land, he could. The land of Goshen, well watered. And here's one of the great texts of the Bible, mean. Jews went out to meet Jacob. One day, turned to the 47th chapter, 8th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th verses, and you find the great text. If you don't see a text of that, go and get down in Mammoth Key if I don't have any eyes. One day, Joseph, with all of his paraphernalia, riding in his beautiful chariot, he must see the old man, he is rather beaten now, Let's see, how old are they down here? How old is that? 17 years old. Now, if you live 17 years, ask me about this. One day, children went out to see the old man went up. But we have no time to brag to the old people now, you know. They wonder, do we have another today? They're from tomorrow. Finally, give up to this fellow. I guess you're busy out there, Mr. Man. Mother's day. The man says, I feel like I thought they were together. And so Judith went out one day to see the old man. Says, Father, I want to take you down to the palace and introduce you to the king. Oh, no, Joseph, I've never been in a palace in my life. I've been raised out on the ranch, as you know, to see how narrow my hands are, and I'm limping. No, old son, I appreciate your invitation, but I must not. I would embarrass you. I don't know a thing in the world about the etiquette of the court. Joseph said, but Father, you must go. Finally said, well, you're the Lord of all the land. If you say I've got to go, I don't want to. I have my clothes. All I've got here is this old sheepskin I've been wearing. Besides, it don't smell very good either. Jude was going to say, I'll put on a coat. Oh, son, I couldn't wear any coat apparel, all that purple and all that hair in the age. I couldn't. Well, you come on just like you are. Why, son, I'll just brace you. You'll be so humiliated. Finding the nails and he gets in the royal chamber. Ride down to the capital. Joseph told Pharaoh, tomorrow I'll bring my father to see. Pharaoh issued a proclamation. The father of Joseph, the man that saved us, is coming. That's a great holiday. Everybody stop. I can see in the entrance as those big brass doors swing ajar, that tall, magnificent, finest specimen of young manhood, 32 years old or thereabouts. I can see the old gnarled bent, long, white beard. Old man, as it means, from the land of his magnificent son. The palace is filled. Every old man is on his throne. The old man doesn't lift his head. Joseph keeps step with his father, and he walks silently up the long aisle. And Joseph stops in front of Pharaoh and says to the whole court, this is my father. And here's where the rules of court were thrown out the window, and old Pharaoh came toppling down that next room. And he says to Jacob, I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me. And there he
You old picture, I wrestled with God. And I seen him face to face. And he's the world name. Even to this day, he is yet. The government that's your start. After 300 years of the deal with this man, the old preacher ought to put his hands on the hair of Samuel and Lester. Now I'll tell you about what made Moses better.